Thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
Hallelujah! Amen! Glory, glory, glory be to God Almighty. Amen! I see God using you mightily in Jesus' mighty name. Can you just imagine if all the cities and all the families around us and all the families around the members of this church, can you just imagine if they all become true worshipers? Can you just imagine if God use you, use your life? Can you just imagine? It's possible, you know. It's possible. Can you just imagine if God uses you to bring a transformation, to bring a revival, to bring a heart, a hunger? Can you just imagine people see you and they actually want to get saved and they want to worship God the way you do? That is possible. And that is what we are praying, that God will use us, use you and I, use this church to attain. Amen? Amen? That people will look at you and they will look at the members of this church, this congregation, and they will say, is it that church where they worship God? Amen. You know, is it that church? If you really want to see a true Christian, you need to go to that church. You know, every church has a label. Yes. But I pray that through you, they will label your local church for good. Amen. Come on, can I hear a big amen? It's true. We, you and I, can come together and change the face of Christianity. You know, I think it was Pastor Bola that was, she was teaching the Destiny Changers on Sunday. And she was saying, you know how people do things in church, people mess up in church. And they say, you know, that church, all the people in that church, but it's only one person. It takes only one person to have a bad rap. You know, but we are saying that we can come together and we can go through life together. And that's what the people, that's what the apostles of old did. That's why they had such a great impact. They all went through life together. They all went through life together. They all, you know, because you couldn't break them up. They were so strong. Their sense of community and their community hovered around their belief system. They believe in the word of God, you know, and they were committed to the word of God. It didn't mean that life wasn't tough for them. No. But that community, they were a community of believers, and what ran through them and among them was that they believe in the risen Christ. They did not want to believe that he did not rise. That was not the issue with them. You understand what I'm saying? But you see, that is still our mandate today. That is still our responsibility today. For us to come together as a spiritual family, that people will look at us as a body and say they believe in the risen Christ. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we won't have our individual challenges. But when there are have you seen some of the stuff they did in the college? Just read Corinthians. Sometimes we read through the book of Corinthians and wonder, my God, were they saved? Read through the book of 2 Corinthians, you know, read through the, just, if you want to look at the early church, just read through, but they were not perfect people. And so, but the job, the work of the body was in sticking together to maintain the testimony of Jesus. Think about it. But over the years, it's been liberalized, it's been commercialized, it's been, everything has been done to it. Today, we have a body of believers, but there's no Christ. So people believe in various things. Some believe in prosperity. Some say they believe in healing. Hey, there were so many Christians who died without healing. and they counted it as faith. Some believe in leadership. Some believe in. So we have every. But that is not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is for us to uphold the testimony of Jesus Christ. He died and he rose from the dead. We believe that he's alive. And that belief system makes us, all of us, come together. That's what makes us believers. So that belief system makes us put aside our individual differences. That belief system also makes us rally around each other to uphold each other as we go through life. And we all go through life. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'm believing God, little by little, one day, we will come here on a Friday and we will see 1,000 worshipers of God. Wow. So I want to ask you a question tonight. So what kind of disciple are you? And what kind of disciple am I? It's in the past 2 weeks we've been looking at the different kinds of disciples that Jesus had. And we started this series by looking at the false disciple. And then we follow on looking at the fallen disciple. Today I want to also look at a different type of disciple, because this, at the end of the day, this is it. This is it. And I'm praying that God will use you to bring Jesus back to the center table. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. We are genuine worshipers. If you bless me, praise God. You don't give to me, praise God. I'm alive, I'm well. Whatever my hands find to do, I do with all joy and gladness. Amen. Amen. I want to look at the life of a gentleman tonight. Let's look at Luke chapter 23. So now behold, from verse 50 to 53, you want to look at. Now behold, Luke 23, verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to the decision and deed. Talking about the decision to kill Jesus. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. That means that he was a what? A disciple too. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation and the Sabbath, and the Sabbath drew near. I want to ask again tonight, are you a fearful disciple of Jesus? We've asked that question, are you a false disciple? Am I a false disciple? Am I a fallen disciple? Tonight we want to ask ourselves another question. Are you a fearful disciple of Jesus? You know, and the biography of this gentleman was a very, very interesting one. Joseph was the Bible described him as a man of character and integrity. Yet, he was a secret disciple. He was a secret disciple. You see, you know, the Bible talks about, there are so many people like Joseph today. They are secret agents in the body of Christ. Bible says it was want to look at a few things about being a fearful disciple. You know, a fearful disciple may possess possess a good character, a good and moral character. You know, and so he said he was a good man. He was a just man. He was good and just. He was upright. Was upright, was religious. But there's another title given to him. Let's look at Mark. In Mark 15, we read there. He was a prominent member. Mark 15, 43, describe him as Mark 15, 20, 43. He says he was a prominent member of the council. There were 70 of them in that council. That was a council that judged to kill Jesus. He was a prominent member of the council. You see, so he possessed good character. He was just. He was a disciple. He believed in Jesus. But you see, God has not called us to be just, to be good. God has called us. If we, I love the way the Bible says something. There are two descriptions. It says, he calls us, say we are what? A peculiar people. The Bible calls us a holy nation. He calls us, one translation describes us, says, zealous of good works. That's what it is. God has not called us to just be, to have a good moral ground. In fact, in one verse, in one translation, they said he was afraid to declare that he was a disciple. Are you a fearful disciple? The Bible says that all things have passed away, everything has become new. So there are people that are lost, but they possess good character. God has not called you to possess good character. He's not called you. That's not the call. God has not called you and I to be labeled a good man, a good woman. No. He says you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We are called to make choices that are different from the choices of the world. He's not called us to be nice people. No. We are not called to be simply nice, to be simply good. No. Holy people are not secret agents. Holy people are not secret agents. You don't make a choice for Jesus in secret. Joseph was a fearful disciple. He was a fearful disciple. The second thing about fearful disciples is that they actually have a concern for the things of God. You can be fearful and still have concern for the things of God. Mark 15:43 says he waited for the kingdom of God. He waited for the kingdom of God. He waited for the kingdom of God. He waited. So he was a disciple. So what is the difference between between the false, the fallen, and the fearful disciple? We are referring to people who have, people like you and I. We have experienced the joy of salvation. We are saved. We are born again. But we will never declare publicly. Joseph never declared publicly. He did not support what the Sanhedrin did. The council, but he never spoke up. He never spoke up. You know, fearful disciples never speak up. They are the ones that we see things go wrong. They know what they know what is right, but they will never speak up. They are the ones that we see people do the wrong thing, or you know, but they will never speak up. They will never speak up. You know. Are fearful disciples. They are the ones that will just like Joseph, they have concern for the things of God. You know, you see me say this every time, that I don't care who you are, and I'm not saying that because you are seated. If you say anything wrong about this church or its members, I will never walk away without letting you know that I'm not in agreement with you. I don't have to be a fearful pastor. I don't care what you are giving me. The day you come to me, wherever I am, or anybody, you run your mouth against any member of this family, this household. I don't need to lobby my stand, and I don't need to please you and satisfy you, and I will never let you walk away without knowing where I stand on that matter. It's not possible. That is the reason we don't have gossip in this church. If you are a member of the church and you come and complain about another matter, another member, and the member is not there, no. No. That complaint is not going anywhere. First, I will justify that other person because that person is not present. Then I will send you back and I will tell you that you misunderstood. Then you should go back. And you know, so you don't, but fearful disciples don't. fearful disciples that we abuse Jesus where you are. Abuse church. Abuse, even abuse your pastor. You sit down and just absorb it. Absorb it. You know, they talk to the Lord, they read their Bible, they attend worship, they may pay tithes, but when it comes to speaking up, fearful disciples do not speak up. They will never declare their stand in public. It's a problem. I remember many years ago, in Birmingham, they did a concert, they did a station, what do you call it, a theater, you know, a Jesus Christ superstar, where they portrayed my Jesus in a very bad light. There was not a problem. My heart was already fuming and swollen because they're in Birmingham. I read it in the papers and in the news. Then I got to the pulpit. My pastor said, go and take announcement. It's announcement. So, on Friday we are doing this. As I was taking the announcement, I started crying. I bought it. Ah! It was, ah! Is the announcement that bad? I bought that. And I was wailing on the pulpit. They had to carry me out of that place. I was saying, look at what they said. I was going to talk about the matter, you know. And look at what they said, you know. Anyway, I just, from nowhere. You can't be a fearful disciple. No. Fearful disciples look towards heaven. They rejoice when others become of faith. They may even be offended when people attack the faith. But the offense they take is in their heart. They will never speak up. They will never declare. On that ground, I want you to take that. I want you to learn that. Never sit quiet when someone is running their mouth against your Jesus. The least you can do is stand and say, don't talk like that. I believe in that name. That's the least. Never fail for people to let people know where you stand. Never fail to let people know where you stand. And I even tell you, not just Christ. Everything. Don't sit down. You know, when you can absorb that one about Jesus, you will absorb anything. They will abuse your husband or your spouse. You will shift uncomfortably and take it. They will abuse your church. You will take it. They will abuse your pastor. You will take it. What are you absorbing? And a fearful disciple. Fearful disciple. Fearful disciple. Fearful disciples, they conceal their beliefs. John 19:38. Don't be a fearful disciple. Don't be a fearful disciple. Fearful disciple. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate. When they were saying, hey, ha, ho, who, yeah, kill him, oh, kill him, yeah, oh, yeah, kill him, beat him, he was there. He kept quiet. Let's lie against him and have him stoned to death. You know, yeah. He did not agree. 70 Sanhedrin, there were 70 of them in the council. 70 of them. He kept quiet. Open his mouth. Nothing came out. Don't be a fearful disciple. Never absorb what you know in your heart is not right. Declare your stand. Fearful disciples are hypocrites. It turns you into a hypocrite. You don't agree. You know it's not right. But you will let it ride and put your head down. That's worse than betrayal. Joseph was afraid of what would happen to him if the other Jews found out that he was a disciple. He was afraid. He was afraid. If they find out that I am a disciple, what will happen to me? If they find out that I go to this church that they are abusing, will they cut me off from their friendship? Will they? They said, all churches are bad. All of them, all including the pastors, they are all criminals. What was that thing you said the other day, Pastor Femi? You said, some of my friends are against it. Some of my friends are for it. But as for me and for my friends, some of my friends are against it. Some of my friends are for it. As for me and for my friends. Say, politician. That is the stand of a fearful disciple. They say, but they are entitled to what they think, but they are saying it where you are. What are you? What is in your own heart? What is in your own heart? They've told you, and I respect them for that. They have told you what they think. What do you think? You swallowed your own. He was a disciple. We don't know how long he's been a disciple for. Someone must have led him to Jesus. Someone must have led him to Christ. We don't know how long he's been a Christian for. So today, many believers are much like Joseph. Their neighbors, their co-workers, their classmates, their friends do not know where they stand when it comes to spiritual matters and anything associated with spiritual things. It is a problem. It is a problem. We cannot do the works of Christ with that kind of demonic belief system. We cannot. We can't raise godly family for the world to see an example with that kind of belief system. We cannot. We cannot. If they are giving you $100 bills, after say, thank you for listening, here's £1,000. We say, oh, the money entices him. Here's no money. Here's no money. There's no money. There's no money. There's no money. So, God has not just called you and I to be good. I am not. He said, oh, good master. He said, who is good? He said, who is good? I don't want to be a good man. I don't want to be a nice man. No. It takes Christ not to do certain things. It takes Christ not to say certain things. It takes Christ not to go to certain places. It takes Christ to love certain people. Good, nice, can never deliver on it. I'm not a nice man. I'm a Christ man. I'm a Jesus man. I'm not a good man. I'm a Christ man. It's an insult on my faith for you to describe me a good man. The things I want to do to you, it is only Christ that is preventing me. It's still because I'm nice. Not because I'm nice. So every day, fearful disciples, they live their life with little evidence of what they believe. Every day. Every day. Every day. There is no bigger jail than the jail of not being able to declare a stand. There's no bigger jail. There's no bigger jail. There's no bigger cell. No bigger jail. There's no bigger restriction That's why Proverbs 29:25 says, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Don't say people are, well, people are entitled to their own opinion, so I just look at them. And so which of your opinion did you air for them to also consider? You see, Christians talk like that. You know, say, they don't believe. Yes, they don't believe. It wasn't enough that they don't believe. They came to tell you they don't believe and why they don't believe. So what did you say? I didn't say anything. I just want to let them say they're attached to their own opinion. But what about your own opinion? Will it not be nice when you say, you don't believe, you don't do it? But it is true. You're entitled to your own opinion. That's nice. But you see, but I believe that. I believe that. Then you give the Holy Ghost an opportunity. After watching, they cast lot, they slayed, put the man, killed him, assassinated him. Then you want to go in the night to go and gather. Is that many of us? You want to go and what is that? As a fear of man brings a snare. When Satan silences your testimony, he can hinder the course of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, but we thank God that a fearful disciple is not a lost cause. I pray that God will strengthen our heart from today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Always declare your stand on any matter, because that is what the Lord will use to bring, you know. Pastor Bola was talking to somebody today. I was listening on the phone. She was trying to pitch somebody a business opportunity. And the person said, I'm not interested. I said, okay. He said, why? Oh, because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's why I'm not interested. He said, okay. So tell me what you do. Oh, I do this, I do that, I do that, I do that. I say, oh, that is very nice. You know? Right? A fearful disciple. Say, okay, all right. Yeah, you have to do. We say, oh, that is very nice. But let me also tell you what I think. I 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'll listen on the phone. I say, really? Oh, yeah. I say, I'm interested now. So there are many people that we could have won to the Lord, but because we are fearful disciples, we never finish through. That complaint is an opportunity for you to minister. You are not a judge. That complaint is an opportunity. I hate the church of the living God. Say, really? Say, yes. All of them, they are thieves. They are all after money. It's true. After money. Look at all of them. They all drive Mercedes cars, Mercedes Benz. Look at them. Very flashy. Is that Jesus with a donkey? Why is a pastor driving Mercedes Benz? Look at them. All of them. They are all devils. The whole church. Vent their anger. My pastor drives a Mercedes. All right. And so who's playing today? Arsenal or Man U? That's many of us. If you come to this boy and you tell me that all church members all over the world are thieves, I will almost strangle you. I will almost strangle you. I'm telling you, you will see my red eye right there. And I will oppose you. And I mean, I will oppose you. Because I know where that thing is going to. Eh? Because I said, very soon, you will tell me that all my church members are thieves. Before you get here, I will oppose you. If you have a problem, go and sort it out. You can't talk like that.
And you know what I say? I know that's what I say. Did you go on holidays last week? Last summer? He said, yeah, where did you go to? He said, I went to Spain. So do you know how many? So are you telling me after MH270 vanished from the air, you still traveled? You are a wicked man. Did you drink water? Yeah. Did you drink water this morning? You are a very wicked man. Do you know how many people drown in summer? Water killed them. You still drank water? You are a very wicked man. Isn't it? So, it's okay now. It's not okay. It's not okay. So, courage is involved. You need courage. You need courage to propagate for you not to speak up and stand for what you believe. You lack a courage. John 19:31. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate. I still commend him on that. That he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one has been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. You see, but he changed his mind. It takes courage to change your mind. You know, that action will have cost him, you know. He changed his mind. After he saw what happened, he considered his ways as a fearful disciple. And then he changed his mind. He went to Pilate. That action alone will have cost him. You know it will have cost him. I don't know. It wasn't documented. For all you care, people will have said, of course, when a man dies, you want to know where he's buried. All right? And he wasn't buried in secret. So people knew that Joseph took the body. And they will have questioned, why did you take the body? Why you? And then, you see, whenever we go to Israel, we usually go to that vineyard. You know, there's a huge garden. We usually go there. And he was wealthy. So what connection have you got to this rogue called Jesus that you will give him your prized possession to be buried in? They will have questioned his integrity. They will have questioned his belief. They will have questioned. But I think he had an opportunity to make it right. And he made it right. So he took courage. Took courage. You know? And care was also involved. Care was involved. Look at the detail. Look at how they took care to take the body. And then they wrapped it with spices. And so care was involved. It takes care. You and I have to be careful to ensure that we are not fearful disciples. And cost was also involved. It will cost you something to be a bold disciple. First of all, the ointments were very expensive. Secondly, like I said earlier, the fact that he went to take the body would have cost him something. They would have at that point identified him with Jesus. And we don't know, and the Bible was silent about what happened to him after he did this, after he made his decision to turn around. He would have thought at one point, I said, my goodness, what kind of a disciple am I? I'm a fearful disciple. I didn't speak up. You know what? Let me make amends. I want you to make amends like Joseph tonight. I want you to determine in your life from today never to sit on the fence, never to be lukewarm, either caught or never to keep quiet when people that you know, people that you love are being torn down, abused or harassed, and you keep quiet and do that. It doesn't matter. I want to challenge you never to be quiet when the body of Christ is being insulted by devils. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because you still drink water. People still drown. Drown every day and you drink water. Because planes disappear. right? And you still fly. I'm yet to see a man who said, because of what happened, I would have thought that when the Malaysian flight disappeared, that the airports all around the world would be empty. No. It's business as usual. So why is it not business as usual with you? Why? Church, why? So courage is required. Care is required. Cost is required. Let it cost you. If it will cost you friendship, let it cost you friendship. But stand and declare what you believe. Not everybody is like that. Not everybody is like that. Come on, church. Not everybody is like that. Not all churches are like that. Not all pastors are like that. Not all believers are like that. Come on, church. Come on. Three things God wants us to do. God directed us to be bold witnesses for him. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God directed us to be bold witnesses for him. Bold witnesses. And listen to me. When we talk about bold witnesses for Jesus or for God, we've not seen God before. So we must be bold witnesses for one another. We must be bold witnesses for one another. We must be bold witnesses for one another. Amen. The body of Christ is not a cult. It's the body of Christ. We must be bold witnesses for one another. That is my brother. You can't speak like that. Come on. Eh? Even if he deserves to be flogged, not you. Amen. That is my faith. You can't speak like that. Even if the faith deserves to be insulted, not you. You are too small. What do you know? What do you know? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's called defending someone's honor. You defend honor. You defend the honor of the body of Christ. You defend the honor of the church. You defend the honor of people you love because they're not there. They're not there. Amen. You defend the honor of their faith. Because when you live there, you will pray in the name of Jesus. You will pray in the name of Jesus if you live there. God directed us to be bold witnesses. God, number two, God deserves for us to be bold witnesses. He deserves for us to be bold witnesses for him. Psalm 47 verse 1 says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is a great king over all the earth. So God deserves for us to be bold witnesses. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is a great king. He's a great king. I won't stand here and allow you insult his majesty. Come on, church. I don't know these believers, people are believing. I don't know. I don't know. He desires for us. Not just the God that we have not seen. Everyone, he said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the same honor I have for God, I have for anyone who comes in the name of the Lord. Same honor. Anyone who comes in the... Say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The same honor. He said, that's why Jesus said, he said, when I was hungry, he said that you didn't feed me. He said, wasn't me. He said, yeah, it was you. He said, as long as you have done it to the least... Say, you have done it to me. You see, so honor is transferable. So, and that's why many of us, we are like the Good Samaritan. So we have run past God and we are going to the sanctuary. We have run past him. We have run past him. We have failed the test long time. And we are coming to this sanctuary to say amen and hallelujah. He said, no. Say, when I was thirsty, say, you are a wicked, fearful disciple. You didn't give me anything to drink. He said, no, master. When did I seize you and not give you something to drink? He said, because that little child came and asked you. You didn't give to that one because you were too busy. Too busy. You had your eyes on the big things. On the big stage, you ignore the little. Number three, God, I said no. So number one, God directed us. Number two, God deserves for us. Number three, God demands us. He said, let the redeemed, Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It's a demand. Let the redeemed of the Lord, you have enjoyed salvation. You have heard testimonies. You have given testimonies. How dare you stand there and somebody abuse the redeemed of the Lord? How? 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 So, church, we must openly declare our faith, our love, and our allegiance to Jesus Christ and anyone who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. We should learn that from this church. Learn that from this church. Every single person in this church is very important to me. They come in the name of the Lord. And that is the spirit we want to have in the house. Every single person who comes, you know, there was a child on Sunday, you know, and the child said, he said, Pastor, I want to see you. And of course, all kids come every Sunday. I want to say hello. So I go there, you know. But this child was following me up and so I said, are you okay? He said, yes, Pastor, I need to see you. I said, okay, no problem. Because, of course, because every child wants to see me all the time. If I spend time saying hello to all the kids, I won't do any of that. I said, so I tapped someone. I said, help me pay attention to this child, you know. So the gentleman who was with me took the child and they went away. So I went to my office. I sat down. I sat down in my office and I kept hearing her voice. Pastor, I want to see you. Pastor, I want to see you. I said, what is this? So I went and I said, so why call that small girl? Go and bring her. So I put her. I said, go. So I said, go and look for that small girl and bring her. Bring the child. The child came. I said, sorry about that. I was very busy. He said, don't be angry. I said, are you okay? He said, yes, but I need to see you. I said, please come. So I sat down, and then she stood. I said, what is the matter? He said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I said, about what? He said, it's about my exam. I said, what about your exam? He said, I have a challenge in this subject. Every time I read it, I don't understand it, and I don't want to fail it. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. So I said, okay. Just as I will do to her when she's 35. I said, come, sit on this chair. And I grabbed my anointing oil and I prayed for her with all my heart. And I said, look at me. You will pass. You will pass. But she's 6, 7, I don't know. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, church, we need to always declare a stand and declare for Jesus. Never sit on the fence. Never sit on the fence. Let people around you know where you stand concerning any given matter. Let them know where you stand on this matter. I have heard your concern, I've heard your cries, but I don't agree with you. The church, Jesus is not like that. The church is not like that. Amen. You declare your stand. Rise to your feet and let us pray. It takes courage, it takes care, and it takes cost. It takes courage, it takes care, it takes cost. It takes courage, it takes care, it takes cost. We are directed, God deserves it, and he demands it. I want you to pray for yourself. We've talked about the false disciple. We've talked about the fallen disciple. We've talked about the fearful disciple. I don't know. Where do you stand? What kind of disciple do you want to be? I want you to pray tonight and say, Lord, touch my heart. Come on, pray. Let me be that disciple you will use as an example for great things. Let me be that disciple you will use as an example for great things. Pray. There are scarcity of disciples. Come on, pray. Say, Lord, use me. Use me. The Lord spoke about that church. He said, you are neither cold nor hot. He said, so I will spew you out of my mouth. I want you to ask for the grace to always take a stand. Pray for the courage. Pray for the courage. It will require great care. It will require cost. But pray for the courage. Pray for the courage. Courage to always declare your stand. Your stand for the faith you believe in. Father, we just thank you. We commit ourselves unto your hands. We ask, O God, that you bless us. That we ask, O God, that you empower us to always choose and choose not just for you, but for the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Help us grow in maturity. Give us boldness as you gave to the early disciples. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please, you may be seated.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future, which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.